O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
The Lord deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, O Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment.
Help us, O Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord,
to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
O Lord, enter not into judgment with your servant.
For in your sight shall my iniquity be justified.
Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading is from the second book of Moses, called Exodus, the 10th chapter. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. So Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh and said to him, Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country, and they shall cover the face of the land, so that no one can see the land. And they shall eat what is left to you after the hail. And they shall eat every tree of yours that grows in the field, and they shall fill your houses and the houses of all your servants and of all the Egyptians, as neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen, from the day they came on earth to this day. Then he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet understand that Egypt is ruined? So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, Go, serve the Lord your God. But which ones are to go? Moses said, We will go with our young and our old. We will go with our sons and daughters, and with our flocks and herds, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. But he said to them, The Lord be with you if ever I let you and your little ones go. Look, you have some evil purpose in mind. No, go, the men among you, and serve the Lord, for that is what you are asking. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, so that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every plant in the land, all that the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his hand over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind had brought the locusts. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled on the whole country of Egypt, such a dense swarm of locusts as had never been before nor ever will be again. They covered the face of the whole land, so that the land was darkened, and they ate all the plants in the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Not a green thing remained, neither tree nor plant of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh hastily called Moses and Aaron and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive my sin, please, only this once, and plead with the Lord your God only to remove this death from me. So he went out from Pharaoh and pleaded with the Lord. And the Lord turned the wind into a very strong west wind, which lifted the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not a single locust was left in all the country of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go. Then the Lord said to Moses, Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light where they lived. Then Pharaoh called Moses and said, Go, serve the Lord. Your little ones also may go with you. Only let your flocks and your herds remain behind. But Moses said, You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also must go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for we must take of them to serve the Lord our God. And we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, Get away from me, and take care never to see my face again, for on the day you see my face, you shall die. Moses said, As you say, I will not see your face again. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Then Israel came to Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham.
And the Lord made his people very fruitful, and made them stronger than their foes.
He turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants.
He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen.
They performed his signs among them and miracles in the land of Ham.
He sent darkness and made the land dark. They did not rebel against his words.
He turned their waters into blood and caused their fish to die.
Their land swarmed with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings.
He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country.
He gave them hail for rain and fiery lightning bolts through their land.
He struck down their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country.
He spoke, and the locusts came, not locusts without number, which devoured all the vegetation in their land and ate up the fruit of their ground.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. They all cried out together, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas." A man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. If you've been keeping score at home as we read through the 10 plagues in Exodus, then you know by now that it doesn't look good for Pharaoh. We've reached the 8th and 9th plagues today, and it's only getting worse. But I want you to think for a moment about everything that Pharaoh has manifested, all of the sin that he's revealed over the course of his involvement with Moses and Aaron during these 10 plagues. Consider the words that Moses uses to address him today in Exodus chapter 10. "How long will you refuse to humble yourself to honor Yahweh, the Lord, and let the people go?" Refuse to humble yourself. Pharaoh not only has a desire to be like God, he considers himself to be a God. For him, it is his pride in part that is getting in the way, that he simply cannot, he refuses to listen to the word of the Lord, to respect God, to acknowledge his authority and his power, to confess his sin honestly. His pride goes before the fall. It is a warning to us as well, because how often is it true of us that our pride is what gets in the way? It is our pride that refuses to allow us to serve and love our neighbors, but insists on making its own point and being heard. How long will you refuse to humble yourself? And then add to the sin of pride the sin of covetousness, the way in which Pharaoh is always grasping, always wanting to hold on to what he has. First he says, you can let the men go, but I'm going to keep the women and children. And then he says, the men and women and children can go, but I'm going to keep the herds and the livestock. He will hold them hostage. He will cling to whatever he can for as long as he can, until God loosens that grip through death. And how stubborn and unyielding Pharaoh is. Captured with that little phrase that we associate with the Pharaoh of the Exodus, hardened heart. Hardened more and more as time goes on. Unyielding. Godless, truly, you might say, one who is captured by the devil. Lying, filled with hypocrisy, saying one thing and doing another. A sham repentance, fickle and changeable. Misusing the Lord's name. Did you catch that? Before the plague of locusts, when he tells Pharaoh to get out, he says, "The Lord be with you if ever I let you and your little ones go." Calling down God's judgment on Moses. And ending chapter 10 with that murderous rage, "On the day you see my face." Note that he's speaking this in the darkness. "On the day you see my face, you shall die." This is the path of sin, which gets to a point where it doesn't care. It doesn't care what the consequences are in your own life or in the life of those around you. It is going to persist and continue. There's almost a sense, I think, in which even if you told Pharaoh how it was going to end, he wouldn't change. He doesn't stop sinning. He kindles the wrath of God. I'd like to say that Pharaoh learns the hard way, but the truth is that he actually doesn't learn at all. He chooses death, and he rejects life. And the locusts, first, and then the darkness, second, they're like a burial shroud hovering over the whole land of Egypt. The locusts in a swarm so thick that it became dark, and then the darkness itself that can be felt, that is so oppressive. The Lord sends these calamities upon Pharaoh and the people of Egypt. What is it that the Lord desires? What is his purpose in doing all of this? He says at the beginning of chapter 10 that there are three reasons he does this. One is that his signs would be made known. You might say that so his power and his existence would be revealed to the Egyptians and the Hebrews and the people of the surrounding nations. He also says that he wants this, he will do this so that you may tell of these things to your children and your grandchildren. So striking to me that God does not want his wondrous works kept silent. He wants them to be made known. He wants the things that he has done and the things that he has said to be passed on from generation to generation, so that the church is not simply here today and gone tomorrow, but that faith will continue in Christ until he returns again in glory. And he says as well that he does these things that you may know that I am the Lord. This would be a good confession for us to make this Lent, to say, "Lord, you have made known to us who you are, that you are the Lord. You have made known to us your wonders and your might in the land of Egypt. You have made known to us your mighty deliverance." Think of who the Lord is. Whenever you encounter a wondrous work in the Old or New Testaments, think about not only his might and his power, but also his grace and his mercy. The Lord our God is a Lord on whom we can rely. You can rely on him when you are going through bodily needs.
You can rely on Him when you are suffering spiritual afflictions. You can rely on Him when the hour of death draws near. For He is the God of might and power, and the God of steadfast love and unending mercy. Now in Exodus 10, there is one light that is seen. It is the light that is found in the homes of God's people in the land of Goshen. The light shines even in the midst of the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It was true in ancient Egypt when God's people could light their homes and the darkness could not snuff it out, but it is even more true with our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. He is the light that no darkness can overcome. He is the light that even when the crowds are shouting, away with him, crucify him, put him in the dark, put him in the grave. But even there, the dark is not dark enough for Christ. For he comes from the grave on the third day with the light that no darkness can quench. He is the light of the world. And though we may at times feel like we are living in the midst of darkness now, the day of light is coming. It has already dawned in Christ. We have much to look forward to. And as we wait for that day, as we wait for the signs and wonders to be done, for the plagues to be finished, for the devil to be killed and destroyed once and for all, for our sin to be overcome for good, as we wait for that day, we wait in the hope, knowing that our Lord is going about his work of delivering and rescuing us, that he is providing the light for us in the midst of darkness, his holy word, his precious sacrament, that he has given us what we need for this journey. And so we gather today, we continue in this season of Lent, asking our God to lead us not into temptation, to defend and protect us from evil, to guard us from the hardness of heart that we see manifested in Pharaoh, to send his Holy Spirit to break our wills and to curb our flesh and to lead us in the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we would turn from our evil ways and live. Turn us again, O God of our salvation, and let your anger cease from us. Spare us from every evil to body and soul. Lord, in your mercy, look graciously on your church and preserve the gospel among us. Renew us in this penitential season to strive against the desires of the flesh, to grow in the joy of your salvation, and to look in love and service toward our neighbors, especially those of the household of faith. Lord, in your mercy, look graciously on the families of our congregation. Defend your holy estate of marriage against every enemy that would divide. Strengthen parents for their duties, especially bringing up their children in the fear and instruction of the Lord, and preserve us all faithful to the end. Lord, in your mercy. Look graciously on our nation and its leaders, all civil servants and those who protect us and work for the common good. Drive away all disease and fear from us. Grant peace, we pray, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Behold in mercy all who are sick, especially Carlene's niece Stephanie as she goes through surgery, those who suffer and those who rejoice. Be with all expectant mothers, all whose labor is dangerous, the unemployed, those near death, and those who mourn. Give comfort to us who are dust and must return to dust, that a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to offer himself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. Trusting in his mercy, bring us in repentance and faith to your altar to eat his body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
Truly good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine that is his body and blood as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, you have given yourself to us in this holy sacrament. Keep us in your faith and favor, that we may live in you even as you live in us. May your body and blood preserve us in the true faith to life everlasting. Hear us for the sake of your name.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.